And as the gentleman said, there were all kinds of people at yesterday's Mass. The Catholic community is quite diverse, especially here in Washington, D.C., and the Pope's visit has been a tremendous event for Catholics of all backgrounds. Joining us now to talk about this is Washington Post reporter Jamil Harris. He's been covering Pope Benedict's journey in Washington. We're also joined by two local Catholics, Timothy Tillman and Raul Yepez. They both attended the Mass on Thursday. Welcome. Congratulations.
It's good to be here.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Jamil, if you could just set the scene for us yesterday at the Mass, if you could just describe the atmosphere.
I mean, first of all, I mean, you had this open-air church experience. I mean, with the music, the arias. I mean, you know, you had Denise Gray, you had the opera singers, you had the priest and the vestments and stuff. And my experience really started on the subway when we were just kind of crammed into the Metro Green Line, and everybody was going to the same spot, even upstage to rush hour traffic. I was lucky to meet a man who actually held a microphone for the pontiff as he delivered his homily. People said it's like a train to heaven. So you had this excitement, and the images that I will never forget, what the diversity, the people from many races. But again, this is primarily a family celebration within the Catholic Church. I didn't see as many people outside of the church community, just the folks on the street corner who are not Catholics and stuff like that. You had the scene at Catholic University, but the bottom line is that this was a good day, 2 days for the Catholic Church.
Well, what did it mean to you to be there?
To me, I was there at many levels. One is I'm a youth minister, so I brought my teens with me, and they were ecstatic to be there. They loved it. And for me, myself, it was just such a wonderful experience to be able to be there. And I was actually very close to the Pope because as a youth minister, they give us very, very good tickets. So I was right behind the altar, and it was just such an inspiring experience, and it was just wonderful.
But can you explain why? And the reason I ask is that a lot of people felt that this Pope just had not connected with Americans, and particularly with young people, in the way that his predecessor had. So if you could talk about it was that was so magical about it.
I definitely agree that JP2 was so, you could tell that he spent most of his pontiff as speaking out to the youth, and that was what he was about, and it was so easy to understand what JP2 wanted and what his
Paul
mission
II,
was.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah, JP2 is the little like lingo for John Paul II.
but somehow this man did connect with you. You felt a sense
and
of the presence.
One of the things is one of the first encyclicals he wrote as pontiff was Deus Caritas Est, which is God is love. And one of the things he, even though it's I guess he's not as vocal or as easily seen in the media and everywhere else, so people don't see him as much, but his messages tend to be about love and hope. And because being at this Mass, he gave a homily, you're able to understand and talk to him, or not talk to him, but hear him talk to you. And so you get a better sense of his message.
Okay, I'm going to play a little bit of that in just a minute. But Timothy, first I want to hear from you. What did it mean to you to be at the Mass yesterday?
It's very important to be with the spiritual leader of the Catholic Church. And it's a spiritual leader of the Christian community. And I was thinking about the questions as people always talk about the Pope and the Catholic Church. One of the great things to take a look at, a Presbyterian minister wrote a note in the Washington Post on Sunday and said, "This is a great spiritual leader. I'm glad to hear the message that he's going to deliver to the world. And this is going to alter the way that that I try to live out my faith. And I have this anticipation that this great spiritual leader is going to go ahead and do something for me." And the Pope is the person, he acts as the person of Christ. So I am anticipating to learn how to be more Christ-like from observing and watching him, and trying to be real about how that's done.
Raul talked about the message of love. I want to play just a short clip from the Pope's homily. We can obviously only just play just a very short bit of what he had to say, but here it is.
The Church in the United States is now called to look to the future, firmly grounded in the faith passed on by previous generations and ready to meet new challenges, challenges no less demanding than those faced by our forebears, with a hope born of God's love put into our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Hamil, what challenges do you think he was talking about?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is internal and not just external. He talked about God's love. And I think not only did he make this homily, but he followed up with a personal meeting with some victims who have been abused by Catholic priests in the church. So he doesn't talk about love from the pulpit, but he made it personal. And I think he was telling people that we need to practice God's love as a church, as a priesthood, as a leadership team, and let it expand. And I think the world is so hungry for leadership that accepts responsibility and goes beyond just war and other things. I think a lot of folks were listening to this message and also what he did while he was in Washington.
Was it a surprise that he had this meeting? I know that there had been some criticism that he didn't go to Boston, which was kind of ground zero of the sexual abuse crisis, even though there have been, you know, cases all over, you know, the country. But
right. I mean, it was a surprise, but some things are kind of planned surprises. I think people expected him to make overture to the greater community and to address this. He was talking on it in the plane. Michelle Borsten was on the plane with the Pope coming over. So he's been talking about it. But the question is, what happens when he goes back? You know, when he put things in place that people can say, okay, how do we continue to heal?
Timothy, how do you react to the Pope's meeting with the survivors of sexual abuse? And I'd like to know, this is an issue that is much discussed in the media, and obviously it's an issue that causes great pain for people who have been affected by it, as well as for the broader church. But did you think it was important that the Pope had that meeting? Because some people think perhaps it, as important as it may have been to the individuals, perhaps some people think, well, maybe it distracted from the larger message. What do you think?
I don't think it distracted from a larger message. The Pope conveys a message of love and hope. If someone is hurt and he has the opportunity to engage them, he's going to meet with them and try to make that statement that I bring the love of Christ into the world and I do the best that I can do that. And it doesn't matter that you're Catholic. It doesn't matter whether or not you like me or you agree with the things that I do. I love the person that you are. And I want to see the Christ in you come out so that you can be all that you can be.
And forgive me if this question is too personal, but I wondered, has this issue of clergy abusing children, has that been a challenge to your faith?
No, it's not a challenge to my faith. Not at all.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Camille? Interesting, though. I was with a group of seminarians, you know, the guys going to be priests. And I asked them, I said, you know, it's been rough for you guys. You know, people see a guy in an outfit. They say, okay, how are you dealing with this? And they said, this was so encouraging just to be there, just to feel good about being a priest, just to feel good about wearing a collar. And I talked to the young man, and I think that's one of the biggest things he did, is that it's no shame to be a priest anymore. Or they're hoping that this would start some momentum where they can kind of repair the image of the priesthood.
You know, I've heard people say that. I've heard friends of mine who are priests say that it's been times, obviously people, you know, take up the cross. That's part of the faith. But that there have been times when sort of wearing the collar has evoked reactions from people that have sometimes been very uncomfortable. Raul, I wanted to ask you about the question of how the Pope has reached out to the Latino community, mm-hmm. which is, of course, a very significant and growing part mm-hmm. of the Catholic Church there.
Well, one of the things, especially with the Mass, I was extremely blown away by the fact that there was so much of it was done in Spanish. There were a lot of the songs that they did in the Mass were done in Spanish and were actually were songs that I actually spent a year in Ecuador doing volunteer service last year. And one of the songs that I had sang with the people there in Ecuador, the poor people in the small towns, one of the songs that we used to sing, they had at the Mass. So it was such a wonderful experience to have that song there and take me back all the way to Ecuador. And the fact that when he did his homily, he did it in English first, but then he did it in Spanish. And it was very interesting. His Spanish accent is better than his English accent, I think. And when he was speaking in Spanish, it was almost more lively, I feel. And it was just so inspiring and comforting to have him speaking in Spanish and saying things specifically to the Latino.
You felt truly welcomed. You felt mm-hmm. truly included.
Yeah.
Timothy told me you're studying to be a deacon, if I understand that right?
That's correct.
Are you concerned? One of the challenges that the church faces is the next generation of clergy. Is this visit, as Hamil was saying, do more to inspire people to take up that role?
I would hope that it would be. I would hope for something else. The Pope came to celebrate Mass. That's the source and summit of the the source and summit of the celebration of the Catholic faith. But this is something that we do every day except for Good Friday. The messages that come from our priests and our bishops are equally compelling on those Sundays and on those weekdays that we gather. And I would hope that the community would be inspired that way. And I think it's important. The church, the people that I worship with in Southeast are going to do more to convert the community than the Pope appearing at the stadium. So we need to take that message of his love. We need to be the body of Christ as we were gathered there in the stadium, and we need to be the body of Christ on the streets of Southeast and in the suburbs and in the places where young Latino people gather, where the African community gathers here, where the poor and others gather and be the person of Christ. That's what's going to grow the church.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is the most meaningful part of the visit the Pope's personal presence, or is it what he brings together?
I think the most meaningful part of the visit is looking at the body of Christ and looking at how diverse it is. So it's great for Raul to come and say, I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm young. I'm Latino. I heard the church speaking to me. I heard Christ speaking to me. It's not the Pope speaking. The Pope acts in the person of Christ. I heard Christ speaking to me. I heard that. There are countless others that don't look like anybody that's in the studio that felt that same way.
Okay, very briefly,
but is the body going to grow? I think that's the key thing. I mean, everybody likes this diversity, but the bottom line is, will there be more African-American priests? Will there be more African-Americans grow? I mean, the church is in the shadow of a black parish, and you didn't see as many, you know, a lot of people weren't there. So again, I think the church still has a big challenge. You know, there's more Spanish people there. The church has exploded in Latin American countries. But in the United States, in inner cities, there's a big challenge. There's a lot of empty pews on Sunday morning. So this church still has a lot of work to do.
Emil, very, very, very briefly, where does the Pope go next?
He goes to New York physically, and then he's still expanding his message. And I think the bottom line is that he continues to keep this message going.
All right. Emil Harris is a reporter for the Washington Post. He's been covering the Pope's visit to Washington. Timothy Tillman is a Washington area Catholic and community organizer who's training to be a deacon. Raul Yepez is also Roman Catholic. He's a youth outreach worker and a youth minister. And I thank you all so much for joining me here in the studio.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Coming up, the Barbershop Guys take on this week's Democratic debate and the gap between what people say and what they mean when they talk about politics.
We save the word cocky for somebody who we're trying to put in his place.
They mean it's uppity. What they mean is uppity. When they say elitist, what they're really saying, this is an uppity Negro who thinks he's better than us, and he's not.
Okay.
And that's what she's playing to, and McCain.
The Barbershop Guys are next on Tell Me More. I'm Michelle Martin. The conversation continues on Tell Me More from NPR News.